Thank you for the invitation. I've come along to Kennywood this evening. I'd just like you to know that when I was a young lad, I used to come to this church, where it was the Church of Scotland. And funnily enough, we were looking for some reason, I don't know why, we were looking at my birth certificate last night, and on the back of it, it said it was baptised in this church. And I didn't know anything about that. I didn't even know it was on the back of my birth certificate. So it's lovely to come along to the Arnott Hall tonight and to be able to just pass on a short message of the gospel to you. And really what my main thrust of the message tonight is speaking is concerning faith. Concerning faith, it was interesting that we sung that hymn tonight, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed." So I wonder if we could open our Bibles at Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to read tonight about two storms. Matthew chapter 8, and reading from verse 23. "And when he," that was the Lord, "was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he says unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvelled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?'" And could we go over to Matthew chapter 14? Matthew chapter 14 and reading from verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and reading from verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?' And when they were come to the ship, the winds ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth thou art the Son of the living God.'" And I just finally want to go over to chapter 8. And I just want to just simply bring this one in. It's concerning the centurion, and just want to look at this verse here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the centurion told him that he didn't want the Lord to come into his house, but just to say the word. And says, "When Jesus heard it, he marvelled and said unto them that followed, 'Verily I say unto you, I have not found great faith, not in Israel.'" So I'm sure the Lord had a blessing to the reading of his precious word. So there are two storms I want to speak about this evening. And first of all, the first storm we speak about, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is with them. And the second storm, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ came and approached them. So it says here in verse 23, "When he was entered a ship, his disciples followed him. And then everything was going fine and everything was going okay. But then something happened that would transform their lives. A storm arose." You know, sometimes we have storms in our life, and these storms arise and we don't know what to do about them. And the disciples were no different from you and me. They didn't know what to do about this. It says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep." And I want you to think concerning these men that were in the boat. These men were fishermen. These were men that were used to being out in the water, and that was their livelihood. And every day they would go out there and they would go fishing. So that was their livelihood. And here this great storm comes upon them. They've had storms before, but they've never had a storm like this. This was a very wild storm, because it says it in so much that the ship was covered with waves. The ship was about to go down, and the disciples were frightened. The fishermen were frightened. You know, when I read concerning the disciples, I often wonder, why is it that they couldn't understand what the Lord was saying all the time? You know, if the Lord was with us today and the Lord told us this, told us that, we would believe what the Lord said. But, you know, these disciples were with the Lord and they were still fearful. They still didn't realise the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an important thing. When we come to the word but in our Bible, and that rings alarm bells to me when I read the word but, because there's something else far better coming in. It says, but he was asleep. The Lord Jesus was asleep. And that tells me concerning that the Lord Jesus Christ was a human being. He was like you and I. He was tired and he was weary, and it says, but he was asleep. I often remind myself of the John chapter 4 concerning the woman at the well. And it says that the Lord sat down being wearied. So we see here that the Lord was tired and the Lord went to sleep. But even though the Lord went to sleep, I'm sure the Lord knows everything that's going on round about, and he knew concerning that storm. And it says here in their desperation, there was one person in that ship that could save them, and they realised that one person was asleep, and that person was the Lord Jesus. It says he was asleep, and the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, save us, we perish. You know, if we call out upon the Lord will never let us down and never forsake us. You know, I was 16, 17 when I got saved, and I called on the Lord, and the Lord came and saved me when I was 17. And if you were to call on the Lord this evening, the Lord will truly save you. But we say it here, Lord, save us, we perish. See, the disciples were thinking there's nothing that they could do about that, that they were going to perish, that the boat was going to sink, the boat was going to capsize. And, you know, when I think of ships, I think of that ship that we read about in Italy that was righted up there. And I would think of the people there, what a desperate state they would be in when that ship was sinking, wasn't it? There was no one there to help them. And it was like the disciples, they were like that, there was no one there to help them. But they realised there was one person on that ship, but one person only, that could help them. They said, Lord, save us, we perish. And they called upon the Lord. And what does the Lord do? The Lord awakes up and says to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? So the Lord was testing there, O ye of little faith. You see, the Lord was probably thinking, well, if you had prayed for salvation, if you prayed for this storm to cease, the storm would have ceased. Isn't it somewhere in the Word of God it says, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains? And the Lord was telling them, if they had that faith, that things would happen. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And why was there a great calm? Because the Lord was in control. And when I think concerning how they rebuked the winds and seas and there was a calm, I think again of creation. And I think how God and the Lord Jesus Christ were at the beginning of creation. I mean, I can't understand why people can't believe in creation. If you look around and you see what's going on around about us, there is a harvest going on now, and there are tractors everywhere, and everything seems to be going on. And to me, that speaks again of creation. It speaks to me of creation. And the disciples shouldn't have been amazed. It says here, they were marvelled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Had they realised the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ had, they would never have thought of these words. This would never have entered their minds. So we see here, this is a storm that was overtaking them. But there is one person that calmed that storm, and that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the important thing I want you to pick up here is the wee word here, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Because when we come over into chapter 14, we'll read there something different. in chapter 14, it's something different. It tells us concerning another storm, and the wee thing in there, when it's talking to Peter, it says, Lord, save me. And salvation is a personal thing. Your mum and dad can't do it for you. Your gran and grandpa can't do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. You know, I'd love her. My sister would get saved, but I can't do it for her. She's got to make that decision herself. And when we read this next storm, we'll see how Peter was saved because of the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was a year past April, I had to come to Kennyway to take a funeral service, and it was my brother-in-law that died suddenly. And when I think of storms of life, when I think of the hopelessness of my sister, she didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. She had no one to turn to. I think of that situation where it's so hopeless that she didn't have the Lord. And then when I think of my other sister in Burnt Island who lost her husband suddenly, and she had no hope. And it's great when we have hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us look at the second storm that I want to bring before ye. And at the top of my Bible says here, Jesus walks on water. And you know, a lot of people ridicule Christians when they say that, because a lot of people don't believe that Jesus could walk on water. And I just want to give you this wee story concerning my wife Anne. She worked for a health firm, and a boss used to do a review every year, and they would write in the review and they get a box from 6 to 1, you see. And Anne always got a box 2. And she went, approached him this time, she said, why is that I never get a box 1? And this is what he said. This chap wasn't a Christian, but he was a Roman Catholic and went to the Roman Catholic Church every Sunday. He says to him, when you can walk on water, you get box number 1. And a lot of people say these things and ridicule about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we truly believe that Jesus did walk on the water. So let us look in chapter 14 and verse 22. And we read here, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. So we see here at the very beginning here that the disciples are told to go into a ship. The Lord Jesus tells them to go into a ship. But the difference between this storm and the last storm is that the Lord Jesus Christ is not with them. The Lord Jesus Christ is not with them on the boat. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ went to do something far better than that. The Lord Jesus Christ went to pray. Have you ever thought, we think about our own prayers and how we pray to God for help and sustenance, and think how the Lord Jesus Christ also prayed to his Father in heaven. And prayer is very important for the believer. How much more is it important when we're there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ praying unto his Father in heaven. It says here in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord was going to go to Calvary's cross, it says here that he prayed alone. In fact, it tells us that his disciples fell asleep. The Lord prayed alone. And we see here that he's praying alone. And I think within myself, what was the Lord praying about? And I think the Lord was actually, to me, I think he was praying about the multitudes that heard him and those that were healed. But most of all, I think he was praying for the disciples on the boat. Sometimes we pray for people who are on a journey, and we pray that everything will be fine and they will be okay. And I'm sure the Lord was praying for them. But let us look just a wee bit into this storm. It says the ship was now in the midst of the sea. In other words, it wasn't close to the edge. So if anything happened, they couldn't get back very quickly. It says here it was in the midst of the sea. It was actually right in the middle of the sea. And again, we've got to remember these are people who know the water. These are people like the first storm who know the water, and that was their occupation. It says, but now the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was blowing all sides. You know, the last couple of weeks here, we were told about the great storms that were going to come across us, and we're all batting down the hatches and preparing for it. And I don't know about you here, but in Comrie, where I stay, we didn't get much of it. But I believe in the coastlines, they would get quite a lot. So people would batten down the hatches. But these men didn't have time to batten down the hatches because they were tossed with the waves and the wind was contrary to them. So everything round about them was going haywire, and I believe they were rowing the best they could. I read in one commentary, it told me that they rowed for 9 hours to try and get out of the storm. I don't know anything about boats, but I believe if there's a storm coming, boats would go for shelter. And I think they would be trying to do the same here, trying to go for shelter, but they couldn't do it. And the important thing we read here in verse 25, it says, and it was in the fourth watch. And the fourth watch, I believe, was between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. So what does that tell me again? It tells me not only were they in the midst of the sea, but it was total darkness. They couldn't see where they were going. So they were in total darkness, and everything was happening around about them. And it says here, I love what it says here. Look what it says in verse 25, and this tells you a lot about our Saviour. Jesus went unto them. Not only did he pray for them, but he saw them in their need, and he didn't leave them or forsake them. He went unto them, walking on the sea. And that's very important, isn't it, to see here that the Lord himself was walking on the sea. And it tells us also something else about the disciples. They were alone in this boat. They'd left the Lord on the shore, and with total darkness, and all of a sudden, this person comes towards them, not in another boat as you would expect, but walking on the sea. And what a tremendous thing was that here he was walking on the sea. And they thought it was a ghost, saying it to the spirit, and they cried out for fear. They cried out for fear because they saw the spirit. But I like again what the Lord does here and what the Lord says. Be of good cheer, it is I. And how did they not know that it was a spirit? Because they knew their master's voice. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. What a tremendous thing was that for the disciples, that here they were in this predicament, they were in this boat, and they could see no way out. And here the Lord personally comes to them himself. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And when Peter says something here, and Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I often think here of this, that the Lord is testing their faith. And I maybe think here Peter's trying to test the Lord. You see that? Peter's trying to test the Lord. He says, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know, the Lord was walking on the water, and here Peter went, well, if it's the Lord, I'm going to say to the Lord, well, it was you. Bid me to come to the water, and because of you, I'll be able to do that. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? This very important thing, come. And that's what the Lord says tonight, if you've not accepted Christ, come. He says here, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So it's important here that we read here that he walked on the water. See, the Lord told him to come, and he obeyed the Lord. And through his obedience of the Lord, he walked in the water, and he was able almost to reach the Saviour, almost. But there's a very important verse that tells us this here. When he took his eyes off the Saviour, he began to sink. And sometimes we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus in our Christian life, and we begin to sink. And we wonder what's going on here. We begin to sink. We've got storms in our lives. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean to say you won't have a storm in your life. But the important thing is, if you're a Christian, if you have a storm in your life, you have someone who will help you. I mean, I had a storm in life 7 years ago when I wasn't well, but the Lord brought me through that. And that was all because I had faith and because others were praying for me. You know, if people pray for you, things have got to get better, haven't they? Things have got to get better. So it says here, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cries, saying, Lord, save me. It's not Lord, save us. It's Lord, save me. And why was it Lord, save me? Because he got himself into that predicament that he was sinking. It wasn't the ship that was sinking. It was Peter that was sinking. Lord, save me. And what does it say in verse 31? This is very important to pick this up. It says, and immediately. Not a few moments, but immediately. It says here, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Stretched forth his hand and caught him. And you know, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you just put your trust in the Saviour, if you put your hand out, the Lord will pull its hand out and pull you and stretch ye and save ye. And the Lord says to him, O thou of little faith, wherein didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And that tells me now in verse 22, not is the Lord on the coastline, not is the Lord walking on the water, but now the Lord has come in to their very presence. And it says that then when they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. But I want to just, in the closing, I want just to bring you to Matthew chapter 8, and I want to think concerning the centurion, the soldier who had a servant. I didn't read it, but I'll read out just a few things just to get you into the picture. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. We've been reading there concerning how the Lord came to Peter and came unto him. It says here, I will come and heal him. But the different story here is concerning the centurion. It says, I am not worthy. Just say the word. Just say the word. I mean, I was at a thing yesterday. It's a, you know about Sarah, because Mel Moody comes here sometimes, and it was our 175th anniversary of Sarah going into the troops. And we heard a lot there about soldiers whose lives were changed and whose lives were transformed when they trusted in the Lord Jesus. And we were told a certain things about certain orders they were given. And this centurion tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am a man of authority. So he was a centurion and he was in charge of 100 men. I am a man of authority. And it says here, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. I was in the army for 6 years, and quotes on this a lot, that she could never be in the army because she couldn't, if somebody told her to go and do that, she would have to question it. See, this centurion here, if he told a soldier to go and do something, that soldier had to do it. It's like when I was in the army. If they told you to go and do something, you did it. You didn't question it. You can maybe question it later on. And this was like this man. He had this authority that he could tell men to do that, to do this, and to go forth. And it says, when Jesus heard it, he marvelled. Isn't it lovely when you see how the Lord Jesus Christ marvelled? Marvelled at the centurion. Marvelled at the fact that the Lord Jesus didn't have to go. I remember the incident concerning Lazarus, because the Lord delayed in his going to Lazarus for a reason. But here the Lord didn't have to go for a reason, because the centurion said he wasn't worthy. Wasn't worthy that the Lord could even go to his house. And the Lord says here, but he marvelled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You know, this man trusted that the Lord Jesus Christ would cure his servant. You know, this centurion had a servant. It wasn't even a member of his family, it was a servant, and this servant was ill, and he thought within himself, there's only one person I know that can cure my servant, and that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says that, and he says, I haven't seen so great faith. And when we come down to verse 13, we see what happens in verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, go home, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And this man had belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord would save his servant. So speaking an awful lot about faith this evening, Well, what is faith? And I had a hymn here that, I don't know if we'll have time to sing it, but there's a hymn here that builds it all up to me and brings it all before me. Just listen to this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And why should we put our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ? And simply this, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sin and for my sin. You know, when I was a young chap, we used to go to the carol service, and I was thinking, then you go to the carol service, and lo and behold, a couple of months later, you're going to the Easter service, and you're saying to yourself, well, the Lord didn't live very long. But that's a different thing, isn't it? The important thing is that the Lord went to Calvary's sin for my sin and for your sin. But the important thing is, why could the Lord Jesus Christ do that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. There was no sin in him. If you try and speak to the men and women in the street about the Lord's birth, and they can't understand it, and they can't understand how the Lord was born without sin. But it tells me in the Bible that he was born with sin. And it tells me in my Bible that we should have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people today want evidence about the Christian life. They want you to say, well, show me the Lord. Show me this. Show me that. But you know, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because of our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that we find that. You know, the disciples had faith in the Lord, and the Lord tested their faith. And the centurion had faith in the Lord, so much so that he says, do not come to my house, just say the word. So we've all got storms in our life, but I want to bring before you the storm in our life is there only one person that can take that storm away, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been saved since I was 17, I'm now 63. And you know, the Lord has never let me down, but there are many times I've let him down. And I'm sure we could all say that ourselves. There are many times we've let the Lord down, but the important thing is tonight that the Lord will never, ever let you or I down. So just in the closing moments, think of the storm. Think of the first storm when the Lord was asleep on the boat. And they came to him and they said, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. And truly, the Lord did save them. But then in the second storm, think about Peter. Lord, save me. And that's where it's very personal, isn't it? Like I already said, we can't get saved for someone else. You know, I've got four sisters and there's one saved, there's one backslidden, and there's two not saved. But I'd love if they were to get saved. In fact, when I was coming across, a sister from Northern Ireland was on the phone to me. I don't know how you think, but that's how I think. Then she said she would phone me when I got to my sister. I think, well, maybe she's returned to the Lord. That was going through my mind, you know. That was going through my mind. But simply it was just that I've got an iPhone and she had an iPhone and she's discovered this FaceTime and all she wanted to do was see her photographs on the phone. But you know, my mind was racing ahead of me, racing ahead that maybe she'd return to the Lord. And maybe she'd convince my sister to come to the meeting tonight. And that was racing through my head. But you know, I can't do it for them. And I can't do it for my sister in Bird Island either. There's only one person who can do it, and that's you, yourself. It's a personal thing. It doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're 3, 40 or 70 or older. You've got to do it yourself. It's a very personal thing to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And he would never ever let you down. Never let you down. If we come to Romans 10, there's a verse here, if we confess. And I want to tell you something. When I got saved as a young man, well, I got saved at 17, then at 18 I was in the army. And I find it very difficult in the army to tell those about the Lord Jesus. And throughout my training, I never told anybody I was a Christian. I didn't know if they noticed any different from me, because in those days in the army, if you didn't drink and you came from Scotland, there was something wrong with you. You were different. And I kept my faith quiet until I went over into Germany and at the church chapel in the barracks. Remember, we were only there a few weeks. And he was going out this Sunday, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to such and such. I said, well, do they speak English? Because we were just out there, do they speak English? Oh, yes. And here it was a Sajra meeting. And here it was a Sajra meeting. I remember going there, and I remember we had a rally. And I remember this vividly, that Jimmy Kirk, who was a script reader at that time, we had a gospel meeting every Sunday after it, and this gospel meeting was going on, and they were witnessing, and they were preaching just like we were doing there, and at the end, Mr. Kirk said, is there anybody who wants to be saved, stand up. And I remember this chap, Andrew Lane, who was a Christian, and he says to me, Jimmy Kirk would look to see if you would stand up. And for the first time, I confess Christ my Saviour. He says, I don't need to stand up. I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that day forth, my life changed. I was able to tell others in the barrack rooms about my Saviour. I wasn't frightened to be sitting at the side of my bed reading my Bible. I wasn't frightened to get down on my knees and pray to my God. I wasn't frightened that anybody saw me doing that. So it says here, if you confess, and if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, don't keep it quiet like I did, because you lose the glory. The wee bit inside you seems to go. Tell others that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that others know that you belong and that you trust in him. So just think of the two wee storms. The first storm, the Saviour was with him, and they said, Lord, save us. And the second storm, Peter says, Lord, save me. So these are just a few simple things brought before you. I love reading about this storm. I know it really speaks about faith, and it would really speak concerning those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord would test their faith. But here I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and gave himself for you, and you will simply come in faith and accept him as your own and personal Saviour. Don't keep it quiet. Tell others about it, and you will get the joy, and Christ will live through you. Shall we pray?